I was going to start with a story, and maybe you've heard this story, but it's a lady from England who was going to applied for a job as a school teacher in Switzerland. And so an English lady is applying for a job, a teaching job in Switzerland. And so I'll pick up the letter from there. And she writes this letter. Here's the story. An English lady, while visiting Switzerland, was looking for a room, and she asked the schoolmaster if he could recommend any to her. He took her to see several rooms, and when everything was settled, the lady returned to her home to make the final preparations for the move. When she arrived home, the thought suddenly occurred to her that she had not seen a WC. WC is what a water closet is, what the British call a bathroom. So she immediately wrote a note to the schoolmaster asking him if there were a WC around. The Swiss schoolmaster was a very poor student of English, so he asked the Swiss parish priest if he could help in the matter. Together, they tried to discover the meaning of the letters WC, and the only solution they could find for the letters was Wayside Chapel. The schoolmaster then wrote to the English lady the following note. Dear madam, I take great pleasure in informing you that the WC is situated 9 miles from the house you occupy. In the center of a beautiful grove of pine trees surrounded by lovely grounds. It is capable of holding 229 people, and it is open on Sunday and Thursday only. As there are a great number of people and they are expected during the summer months, I would suggest that you come early, although there is plenty of standing room as a rule. You will no doubt be glad to hear that a good number of people bring their lunch and make a day of it, while others who can afford to go by car and arrive just in time. I would especially recommend that your ladyship go on Thursday when there is musical accompaniment. May interest you to know that my daughter was married in the WC, and it was there that she met her husband. I can remember the rush there was for seats. There were 10 people to a seat ordinarily occupied by one. It was wonderful to see the expressions on their faces. And the newest attraction is a bell donated by a wealthy resident of that district. It rings every time a person enters. A bazaar is to be held to provide plush seats for all the people since they feel it as a long-felt need. My wife is rather delicate, so she can't attend regularly. I shall be delighted to reserve the best seat for you if you wish, where you will be seen by all. For the children, there is a special time and place that they will not disturb the elders. Hoping to have been of service to you, I remain sincerely the schoolmaster. Now, I read that one because I thought it was kind of cute, but also recognize that we all interpret words and life differently. So we interpret things according to our knowledge and our understanding, but the Father is bringing his people into a truth and a knowledge where we together understand his kingdom call and his kingdom purpose. So last week, I shared with you all this word, Maranatha. Maranatha, which means this, Jesus is coming soon. Would you tell that to someone? Jesus is coming soon. That's the last words he spoke in Revelation chapter 2:20. I am coming soon. And the word doesn't mean immediately. It means without delay. It's this understanding that when it is his time for return, wherever your theology is, right? So when I say he's coming soon, your theology might say something else than what I'm actually saying. But it doesn't matter. As we come to this understanding, as we've been talking about language of eternity, that we are called to live in the eternal right now, and that his return is not an escapism from life's problems. His return is to motivate us unto a life now of eternal quality. So that life of eternal quality, as Jeff and the team and I were unpacking this, that there are three things that we are focused on as the eternal. Out of 1 Corinthians 13:13, faith, hope, and love. These three abide forever. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. So with the return of Christ, it is important for us to focus in on not only just our one day, but how are we to live our lives today? And as we studied last week, and we're moving on today to a very specific word for Echo Hills Church, that when you read last day's language of before the return of Christ, what you see often are these words, be awake, be alert, be watchful. That we need to be awakened to the reality that at any moment there could be that trumpet sound, 1 Thessalonians 5. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And forever we will be with the Lord. Until that happens, we need to be awake and alert to what? I want to propose to you faith, hope, and love. that we are to be a people who navigate our lives with that reality, the covenant, the command, the prayer, faith, hope, and love. And also, as we've been giving this, five things to get your grip on eternity: abiding in love, reigning in life, leading in joy. These are where we are going to make our focus. This is where our team for the next year, we're going to focus in on and say, this is where we're going. How do we do this? And we're going to take a year or so as the Lord leads to really plant this into all of our hearts. So this morning is a different morning message for me, because this isn't just a teaching from the Word. I feel very strongly, I've been sitting on something for a month, and I presented it to Jeff, and we've prayed into it, and he affirms what I'm about to share with you, that this is a specific word from the Word for us. And it started at the very first of the year when, for the first time in my life, the book of 1 Thessalonians has become alive to me. I've read it a number of times. I've quoted 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, 18. I've 1 Thessalonians 4 at a funeral. I've quoted verses, but it was the first time in my life where I read it and I went, has anybody else ever seen this book before? And I've been waiting for a month to share this with you guys. And I pray your hearts will be opened as you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, because I feel like today the Father is giving us an invitation, a prayer, and an encouragement that this is for us. It's for all, but it's for us specifically. It's an invitation, it's a prayer, and it's an encouragement. Would you say those words with me? An invitation, a prayer, and an encouragement. So 1 Thessalonians, I'm going to read, and we're going to really focus in verses 7 and 8 of chapter 1. And guys, Darren, you may have the verses, you may not. If not, just grab it in your own tablet, your phone, or your Bible. I like writing notes in my Bible because I know what to go back to and look for that. But here we go. Verse 2 of chapter 1, Paul writes, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember for our God and Father," here's the faith, hope, and love, "your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters of Echo Hills Church, we know, brothers, loved by God, you are loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit." Here, verse 7 and 8 is I want to focus in on for just a few moments. "And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has become known everywhere." And here's the invitation I believe the Father is giving to us specifically. He is calling us to be a model. That he has given us an anointing and he's put it upon our church, not buildings, people, an opportunity to say, will you be a model for other believers? Now, it can sound arrogant if we take it in the context of, well, what about the other churches? Aren't they? And every church has great value. Every church is a model to some sort. Every church is. So please, don't hear us being superior. Don't hear the Father saying, you are greater than. That's not the call. The call is a people who will go beyond just attending of church to a people who are a model of church. And it's very specific because it has nothing to do with service styles, programs, ministry opportunities. Those are important, but that's not the focus that Paul says you became a model of. The focus that Paul says you became a model of for all the believers is the way we live out our faith, the way we live out our love, and the way we live out our hope. Somebody smile at me. It's an invitation that he's given us that we might be a people who, Paul says previously, you became imitators of us and imitators of the Lord. This word of an imitator, this idea of imitation, means a people who emulate someone else, a mentor, setting a proper example, a positive expression that arises by admiring a pattern set by someone worthy of emulation. You see, dear ones, church, Christianity, followers of Christ, is so much more than Sunday between 10 and 12. But it's a people who can say with confidence, follow me as I follow Jesus. That you can look at me and you can see how to follow Jesus Christ. That you can watch my life, imperfect as it is, at moments that it doesn't look like Jesus, but the overall tenor of our life is this: I am following Jesus Christ, and I'm going to show you how to do it. And how much more is that than I attend, I go, I kind of hang out. A people that are saying 24/7, wherever we go, wherever we're at, whether it be our job, our home, whether it be in our neighborhood, wherever it is, that I am going to be one who models the reality of Jesus Christ in a world that is looking for mentors, coaches, fathers, mothers of the faith who say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Look at my life. And how do I know? How can you tell that I am a person who follows Jesus? It's more than the words I say, but it's the faith I live in. It's the joy. It's the hope I live in. And it's the love I live in. And that when God called, when Paul says, you're a model church. What Paul was saying was, hey, and it was really all throughout Greece. If you want to see what Christianity looks like, go to Thessalonica. If you want to know what Jesus looks like, look at those people, because those people represent well what it means to be people of faith, hope, and love. And our worship is very expressive. Our worship is, there's energy and there's kids running around. It can be very quiet and solemn. That is not the issue. That's not what we're going after. What we're going after is this, that our love and our faith and our hope is so evident in our lives that we give ourselves to Christ. Faith, hope, and love. So what does that mean? If you need prayer for healing, you need to talk to the folks of Echo Hills Church, because their faith is strong. If you need to know how to raise kids, talk to the people of Echo Hills Church, because their faith is strong. If you want to know what love looks like, talk to the folks of Echo Hills Church, because, man, those people love well. If you are lacking in hope, you're discouraged, you need to talk to the people of Echo Hills Church, because these people know how to trust and believe in God, even in the midst of difficulties. You see, Paul keeps telling them in the story of Thessalonians, he keeps telling them they were hitting trial after trial after trial after persecution after difficulty. And here's what he told them. Your faith was stronger than your difficulty. Your faith was stronger than your persecution. That difficulties did not erode their faith. It made it stronger. And I love what Jeff had to say. Our words are powerful. That faith declares what God says, not how life is. And you see, I'm pretty passionate about this. I've been holding on for a month. Now I get to go, Pah! Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, you might have this. Paul says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice for God. A model is this, something that's forged by repetition. It means the correct paradigm. It's this reliable precedence for others to follow. So what are we going after? Faith, hope, and love. The covenant, the command, the prayer. The five things: abiding in love, reigning in life, leading in joy, cultivating a vision, launching a legacy, empowered to live. We're going to just like stamp it in our hearts, because we believe that as we stamp this in our heart, what it becomes? It becomes a model to others of this is what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Just stamp it there, and again, and there it is again, and there it is again, and there it is again. And too often, I've been in vocational ministry for over 30 years, and this is, I can say this without casting dispersions on my past, because we just do what we do and we know what we know. And our leaders, what was it about? How are we going to grow our church? How are we going to get more people? We got to get more money. We got to get more workers. We got to get more programs. And the focus was, how do we do this? How do we view people with the idea of how can they get involved? How can they be more supportive? How can they serve? And we gave gift tests and we gave all these things of the idea of how can they serve the church? How can they do that? And God bless it. It worked. God does great things even in the midst of misunderstanding. Okay? But here's what we're going after. How can we love more? How can we have greater faith? How can we have more hope? How can we give ourselves to each other in love? How can we be a people who say, I am called to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm saying, come follow me? Somebody say amen, would you? See, the difference focus. The focus is different. When you have a different focus, you ask different questions and you get different answers. So hear the invitation of the Lord. And here's the thing that just kind of blew me away. I found this out just about 3 weeks ago, and I love these surprises from heaven. And it's here in verse 7. I'll read it again. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse 8, the Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. What has become known everywhere? Say it again. What has become known everywhere? See, too long it was the building. Oh, isn't it? Don't you have that building up there where there's a large funeral? They have the funeral there. Is that where you at? Aren't you up there? Dear ones, thank God for the building. Yay. But that's not what needs to ring out. What needs to be known throughout our region is our faith. God bless the building. But I won't want to be known as a building. I want to know me as a people whose faith rings out everywhere. And here's what I discovered. I love the kisses from heaven. This word ring out comes from two words. The first word is ek, E-K, and it means from out of, from the interior outwards. And the second word is this, echio, to make a loud noise, to give forth a sound. And the origin of this word is the word echo. I read that and almost jumped out of my chair. I read that and I went, no stinking way. Because in all of our... Sorry, my faith was really high. We were submitted name after name after name after name. Great names for our church. Great names. And we felt like the Lord said, Echo Hills. Not because we're on Echo Hills Drive, but because we don't make up the message, we echo the message. We don't make up the love, we echo the love. And when Paul says, ha, 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 the Lord's message echoed from you, not only in Lewiston and Clarkson and Asotin, but how about Lapway and Orofino? What about up into Anatone? What about into Moscow? What about into Pullman? What about into Canada? What about over into Washington State and down into Oregon and California and how about Utah? Could it be that God is calling Echo Hills Church, have the message we carry ring out from within, outward, not just our valley, but around our whole region? Say it, Mark. Why not? Think, why not? Why not us? Why not here? Why not now? Why can't we be a people who give ourselves to faith, hope, and love so much that the message of the Lord rings out from us? And it's a clear sound, and it's a loud sound, and it's a pure sound, and it's a sound that speaks of faith, hope, and love. It's a message that comes from His Word, that it's about Jesus Christ, and it rings out from us. See how much more impactful that is than I go to church. And thank God you came to church. You could have been anywhere today. Yay, thank you for coming, but there's more. So I'm asking, and we had our prayer team pray beforehand. I'm asking that this resonates in your heart, and that was... I don't know who said the resonate word. I don't know that. Yeah, it resonates in our hearts that, dear ones, we're more than attenders of a church. We are messengers that ring out His faith, His hope, and His love. That we become a model, this pattern that people can say, and those folks are different. They're peculiar. And it's not to be weird, right? It's not to be weird. It's just that what even Christianity, what normal Christianity has become is not normal. It's not normal. It's not biblically normal. Much of it's not normal. That we say, if I come once every 6 weeks, I am a faithful attender of a church. Now, I get it. Sometimes we've got work. I get that. But it's a people who are saying, I am passionately going after faith, hope, and love. Why? Jesus is coming soon. And what we do for God, we must do now. He's coming soon. And so what happens? Then we begin to view our life differently. We view our time differently. We view our situations differently. We begin to look at our money differently. If Jesus were going to come in 2 weeks, how would you live differently? Well, live that way. And it always comes back to faith, hope, and love. So in chapter three, Paul went from Thessalonica. He was only there 3 weeks. He got kicked out. He had to run for his life because he was being persecuted. He goes to Berea. And there at Berea, the Jews come and they kick him out. So they finally says, Paul, you need a break. Go down to Athens. Go by the sea. And so Paul and Timothy and Titus and others, they go to Athens and he takes a break. But on Paul's mind is this, how's the church of Thessalonica doing? Because it was only there 3 weeks. We find, I think it's in Acts 18, that Paul, a large number of God-fearing Greeks accepted Christ, some prominent women, a few Jews. And now he is like, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to know what's going on. So he said, I have to find out how they're doing. So while he was in Athens, he sends Timothy back to Thessalonica. Because here's what he says. He goes, I was afraid that our labor was in vain. That somehow the tempter came and really just took your faith away. And he goes, I've got to find out how they're doing. So he goes, Timothy, go back. And he said, now he goes down to Corinth. And Timothy comes and joins him in Corinth. And in chapter 3, verse 6, look what Paul hears from Timothy about the church in Thessalonica. He says this, but Timothy has just now come to us, in verse 6, from you and has brought good news about your faith and love. How did Paul know they were doing well? Their faith and their love. Their faith, their love. And then he prays over them in verse 12. Really 11 and 12, but we're going to look at 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts that you'll be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. Hear it again. Here's that language. When Jesus returns, what is he asking for? That their love for each other would grow and increase. And what happens when your love increases? You walk in holiness. If holiness is a set of behaviors, you're not holy. I love my wife, and the reason I stay faithful to my wife is not because she shows up at the door every night with a shotgun saying, so how was your day today? Tell me what you looked at. Tell me who you talked to. Tell me about, did you talk to any women? Did you lie or cheat? Did you steal anything? No, dear. Okay, come on in. The reason we stay faithful to God and holy in his presence is because we love him so much. We would say, no way are we going to be unfaithful to him. No way will we cheat on him. No way we would do that. I would never violate that love. I would never violate a love like that. I would never hinder this love relationship. Never, ever. And Paul says, let it increase. And how do I know his love is increasing? It's because we're loving each other as he loved us. You see, it's the focus. It's what we're giving ourselves to. And Paul said, oh, you're doing great. How do I know you're doing great? Because Timothy has told me, man, your faith and love. It's awesome. And here's the encouragement. Go to chapter 4. So, Lord, let us grow in love. Let us grow in faith. Oh, man. Oof. Finally, brothers, chapter 4, verse 1. We instructed you how to live, how to conduct your lives. We instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. See how different it is to live just by rules and regulations or to live to please God. See, if I live without love, if we live without faith, hope, and love, we can go through the motions of it. But the motivation that Paul says, you're living to please God. And the cool thing about this is that when we live to please God, you all get the benefit of it. I listened to an article of a guy. He was burned out in ministry. He was trying, and he hated people. And it's not to be good in ministry and hate people. It just doesn't work well. And he was just not doing well. And he finally came to this point and says, God, I can't do this. You got to show me something else. And he came across these verses about as God loved you, love each other. And he said, can it be that simple? Can it be that simple? And so he didn't tell anybody. He didn't say a word because he thought he was a heretic. But he started loving his wife just out of the love he was receiving from Jesus. And 3 weeks into it, his wife says, what's going on with you? He goes, what do you mean? He goes, you're attentive. You actually listen to me. And you are getting me stuff. What's going on? And he said, I can't tell you yet because I'm not sure if it's real. A few months later, he said, here's what's going on. I am receiving such love for God that those I'm trying to love you the way that I'm being loved by God. And she goes, don't stop. Look what Paul's saying. You are actually living right now to please God. 2 Timothy 4:2, I believe it, Paul says, no one who's involved, a soldier doesn't want to get involved in civilian affairs. He wants to live to please his commanding officer. Here's our focus. It's not us. We please him. We get the benefit of it. We live to honor him. We live to just say, God, I'm living to please you. I'm living for you, Lord. And guess what? We get the benefit of it. And Paul says, you're doing it, gang. You're doing it. And I just felt like the Lord said to say to Echo Hills Church, you're doing it. You're doing it. For two churches to come together, for two churches to say, you know what? I don't know what it's going to fully look like. I don't know what it's going to mean, but you're doing it. You're doing it to please God. You're doing it to say, God, I don't know where this is going to lead us, but it's okay. We're going to do this for God. And I felt like the Lord was just saying, be encouraged, Echo Hills Church. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're doing it. You're working things out. You got four different styles of worship going on. You got multiple teachers going on. It's like, whoa, what's going on here? Who's up next? And what's taking, right? It's, you're doing it though. Why? Because it's to please God. But here's what he says next. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. And when I read that, I thought, well, I got to get better. I got to improve. I got to try harder. And it doesn't mean that at all. Here's what it means. I love this. You ready? I got to find it now. It refers to this. For us to choose what is better as compared to what is merely good. It involves prioritizing our ranking to elevate the best over the good, the more important over the less important. And here's what I've discovered. When you live to please God, you begin to prioritize your life over what is the best versus merely what is the good. Notice it's not sin or righteousness. It's not. It can be good. But is it the best in the light of eternity, in the light of faith, hope, and love? Is this the best use of my time? Is this the best use of my finances? Is this the best use of my emotional energy? That we begin to prioritize our lives according to pleasing God. And now we begin to see that's okay, but that's really not what I'm about anymore. Now this is what I'm about because this is best in the eyes of eternity. I've been asking myself this question over and over again. In the light of eternity, is it really worth it? Someone hurt my feelings. In the light of eternity, should I carry a grudge for a while? You know, are we going to be in heaven and go, Jesus, hurt my feelings, right? And I get it. We got to work through that. We do. I'm not trying to minimize it. But in the light of eternity, what do we give our time, our energy, our treasures, our life to? In the light of eternity, do you need to go to work? Yes, you got to take care of your family. Obviously you do. But what we hold on, will we give our time, the time that we could spend over here in the light of eternity, maybe it's best spent over here. Maybe we'll get off YouTube a little bit more. Maybe we'll not watch as much or listen to much, but we're going to give ourselves to the eternal things. And that's what Paul's saying, more and more doesn't mean get better. It means you begin to prioritize your life between what is good and what is best. I'm almost done. Then I'm going to turn it over to Jeff. He's going to close us up. The same verse is found, the same word is found in chapter 4, verse 9, where Paul says, now about brotherly love, Philadelphia, that's the word there, it's brotherly love. We do not need to write to you, for yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. There's that word again, that love prioritizes our decisions, that faith prioritizes our decision, that hope prioritizes our decisions. And I close with this. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, because he says in 4, he says, do this. I want you to do this. Faith and love. I want you to do this. And look what he writes in 2 Thessalonians 1 verse 3. He says, we ought to always thank God for you, brothers, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more. And the love every one of you has for each other is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all persecutions and trials you are enduring. So he says in chapter 4, I want you to do this more and more. In the 2 Thessalonians, he says, you are doing this. And here's what he means. He says, your faith is growing. And the word means to increase beyond measure. What would it be like at Echo Hills Church that has a faith that is beyond measure? We didn't say cancer, come on in. You're going to bump into some faith that's increasing. Hey, we need that person in the wheel. We need that person who can't walk. Come on in. Because our faith doesn't go, our faith goes, it's increasing. We need to say to challenges, hey, the Shops are closing down in Lewiston. Macy's is going. Kmart's going. Where's our economy going? Come on, man. Our faith says, bring it, because it's increasing. It's not decreasing. I'm making hand gestures because I'm trying to determine if I'm going to say something or not. And then he says, and the love everyone have for you is increasing to superabound, more than enough, greater in number. As they prioritize faith, hope, and love, Paul says the evidence of it, your faith is ever increasing and your love is superabounding. So what does Mike feel like the church is when God says you're a model? This is what it looks like. It's not, we love our programs, love our, it's great, but that's not what it's about. It's a people who are growing in faith, hope, and love. So when you face a challenge, you go, my faith is strong enough to see through that challenge. And if it's not, then we come together in love and we support each other until our faith is able to say, I am convinced, I am persuaded, I know without a doubt, God's going to do this in my life. And I'm asking, and I don't know, Jeff, where you're going to go after this. I'm asking, Echo, you ready? You ready? Let's go. Not perfect. I'm asking, are you ready? Let's go. Let's go now. Jesus is coming soon. We don't want to wait another day. Go another week. Let's go. Let's go. Let's be a people who are a model to others by our faith, hope, and love. And how do we live that out? That's what we're going to unfold. We're going to take this next year and we're going to have teams. We're unfolding it. We're going to just keep digging this well, keep going after it. More revelation, more understanding, because we believe that God is calling Echo Hills Church to be a model for the region and beyond. Not in arrogance, but by invitation. Come on, my friend.
Amen. Come on. Good word. Thank you. Can we invite the frontline ministry team up? Why don't you guys come on up? So when we started having kids, we had three kids, boom, 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 right? Back to back to back. And they would sit around our table in their high chairs. And I would sit in my seat and I would throw at them like the macaroni noodle or the half a grape or the little piece of green bean. And I would just, you know, toss it at them and, you know, it would land on their plate and they would scoop it up with their chubby little faces and their cuteness. And Jacqueline would say to me, like every single time, Jeff, they're not birds. I'm like, I know that. That's obvious. Then don't feed them like a bird, because they're not birds. They eventually have grown up and now they don't eat at the table like that anymore. And I don't throw food at them. But I was thinking about that as I was listening to Pastor Mike, because we just received the word. And there's a tendency to feel like a bird, like, oh, it's just being thrown at us. You know, and that's not his heart. That's not our heart. That's not our intention. We get a very limited time with you in the nature of discipleship, which then demands that you take and choose to be in more discipleship, to get into relationship, to start to partner with the Spirit of God in such a manner that, Lord, the word I've received will not fall on fallow ground. It will not fall and be burnt up by the sun. It will not fall and be eaten and chewed up by the birds, the enemy that comes in and swoops in and steals it. But that, Lord, there is good soil here. There's a working of the Spirit of God being allowed to happen here that's turning over and exposing rocks and getting them out of the way, removing them. That's what we did during worship, right? It's, Lord, that wall that I have self-prophesied into existence, I am now going to prophesy out of existence. That hurt that we've carried, that has hindered or withheld us, and what was the word you used? But Jesus walks through walls, but you used a different word, that trapped. Is that the word you used? Trapped. Yeah, trapped. That if you're feeling that way, look at these men and women that are standing up here today that have said, I want to see the more. I want to see the more in my life, and I want to see the more in your life. I want to believe that faith and hope and love is the standard. So I'm going to release you here in a moment to go about your day, to go and have lunch and to celebrate, to do whatever you got to do to prepare for your week. But I'm also going to ask that before you leave here, to consider that you might need to come up and partner with one of these individuals that are part of our prayer team called Frontline Ministry. You might also consider turning to the person that you came with today and just ask them, would you mind if we just prayed? And I'm going to ask specifically, they have words, they're carrying words of knowledge, they're going to discern and they're going to pray for you, they're going to love on you. But I'm going to ask specifically, in light of the word this morning, that the standard of faith and the standard of love would begin to contend against every other standard we've erected and called church. Yes. program, attendance, certain amount of participation, serving in children's church. Listen, our children need teachers. They need men and women that are willing to pour into them and disciple them. Come on, we need greeters that we have all these needs that exist because we function in this capacity. But those standards have been removed and they're being replaced by what are we going to be measured by? The level of our faith and the level of our hope. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would let the Spirit drop something into you that you know is a hindrance to letting more love and more faith flow through your life. Come on, what just came to mind? It may be your spouse, but that's not a curse. Come on, you may have thought of them and like, oh, you want to know what's a hindrance to my life? My spouse. Then get your eyes off of them and put them on Jesus. And come up and just go, hey, would you pray with me and for me? Because I want faith and love to be the standard by which I live. Come on, you might be thinking of work tomorrow. If you're new to Hope Chapel, oh my goodness. If you're new to Echo Hills Church, we used to be Hope Chapel, forgive me. But if you're new to Echo Hills Church and I can hear your internal thoughts. Where did we end up today? What on earth is going on here? We're about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God lets little kids run around. It lets people blow their horns. It's asking men and women to stand up in front of you and be in an awkward position of just staring at you. Come on. It means that we look at the clock sometimes and always think we have another half hour to go, or at least 5 more minutes. There are standards in your life that God wants to begin to tear down and replace with faith, hope, and love. And the greatest way to do that is to not walk out of here feeling like you're a bird that had some bird seed thrown at them, but to step up as the beautiful creation that you are and ask somebody to join with you and say, let's see the more. Let's see the more together. Right now, the Lord's dropping this thought into my mind. I know this resonates with some of you. But how many of you right now, when I describe a situation, you think of a name, but it's that person that you give a lot of space to? Oh my goodness, they're walking in the room. I'm just going to give them a lot of space. I hope they don't walk towards me. I hope they're not interested in anything I'm interested. I don't understand what they do. I don't know why they do that. So I'm just going to ignore them. I'm going to close my eyes, plug my ears, and just really hope that somebody else talks to them. That is not kingdom. That is not the standard of faith and love. That's fear. Versus, Lord, I really don't know what to do with that person, but faith and love are going to be my standard, so I'm going to take a step towards them. And it starts with that. Nobody's asking you to run to them. Nobody's asking you to become their best friend. Nobody's asking you to fix them. Stop fixing people. But why not just consider that maybe the standard of faith and hope and love actually doesn't create more distance, it eliminates distance. It says, I don't know who this man is sitting here in the black coat, but I'm just going to move a little bit closer to him and say, good morning, I'm Jeff, and that's Randy. I do know who he is. Do you see it? Do you see how it can be different? So try it this week. Try it at work tomorrow. Who's that individual right now that you know you just give a lot of space to because I don't want to be a part of their life, and I definitely don't want them to be a part of mine? What if the standard of faith and hope and love looked at that person and said, you know what? Lord, you love them. You have a plan and purpose for them. And rather than send somebody else, maybe you sent me. But I'm just going to take a step towards them. They may hate you. They may snarl at you. They may not want nothing to do with you. But those responses don't determine faith, hope, and love. Because if they did, then none of us would get into eternity. So Lord, right now, I thank you in the name of Jesus Christ that you would move upon our hearts to respond to the word that we've been fed this morning. That we'd begin to understand the level of participation that we've been called into and empowered to experience and live out by you, Holy Spirit. If you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus Christ, each and every one of these individuals standing up there, up here, would love to introduce you to the Savior of the world. They'd love to listen to the questions you have regarding Jesus. Not that they'll all have the answers or the perfect answer, but they're at least going to share their faith with you. And I guarantee you it's going to take more time than we have this morning. So exchange phone numbers. Ask for a cup of coffee. There's a verse in Psalm 116. I think it's verse 8. And it's the psalmist in this verse is simply portraying a posture of worship that I believe we've tapped into this morning. And it carries a revelation that I want to make sure you walk out of here with. But it reads like this. What can I render unto the Lord? Meaning, what could I possibly give to him? Now, in order to even ask that question, there has to be a revelation of who God is. And in that revelation, we become so overwhelmed by by his expanse, by the nature of eternity, faith, hope, and love. Who am I to give God anything is the posture of the psalmist there. It's the posture that you and I are invited into every single day. And yet what's so beautiful about the response of the psalmist that you and I need to get active in our life isn't, oh Lord, what could I possibly render unto you? What could I give to you? Nothing, because I'm a worm, therefore I'll just become less. I will continue to step back and think of myself as nothing. That is not what the psalmist says. That is not the heart of the Father. What the psalmist says there in Psalm 116, verse 8, in response to his own question, what could I possibly give to the Lord? He says, I shall lift up my cup of salvation and ask for more. I shall lift up my cup of salvation. I shall lift up the cup of life and say, I need more. I want more. I know I don't even comprehend the fullness of who you are. I could never comprehend it. I can't even begin to imagine it. But in light of all of that, I'm still going to ask you for more. Because there is more. And it goes on to say this, and I think it's so key, especially in our economy right now, that in light of that revelation of saying, what could I render unto the Lord but lift up my cup of salvation? I shall be able to pay all my debts. I shall be able to pay every word that I gave. Meaning what? That, Lord, if I said that your name is above every other name, then I'm going to see that your name triumphs over every other name because I've asked for the more. If I said that I would believe for cancer to be eradicated, then, Lord, I lift up my cup of salvation and every word that I've spoken shall be paid in full. So, Lord, this cup of salvation that I'm lifting up to you is overflowing in such a manner that I can fulfill every vow that is in alignment with Jesus Christ. And so I pray that the Lord bless you this week, that you find yourself strengthened and encouraged by the word of God, that you would rise up and overcome, and that before you leave this morning, you'd grab a cup of coffee, you'd hang out a little bit, you take an opportunity to connect with the frontline ministry team, you turn to somebody and ask them to pray for you. Amen. God bless you this morning. Would you arise and find that spot this morning where the Lord would like to meet you? God bless you.